Welcome to the Hateful Hitman Podcast. Brought to you by Hitman Fantasy Productions. Premier football coverage from college to NFL to fantasy and everything in between. And now, in the Hitman's Hideout, here's your host, Chris Strasbaugh.
Welcome in. Wednesday night, June 17th. Hope you guys are having a great day. Got a good show for you. We're going to talk IDP here in a little bit. I'm going to bring Brian Wickham in. Brian Wickham, welcome back to the podcast. I got my Skype situation straightened out. Thanks for being patient with me.
What's up, man? How's it going? Hey, things happen. It's all good. Our schedules don't always match.
That's for sure. So what I heard today was Zeke Elliott tested positive for the coronavirus. Now, I don't want to be the one to point the finger and say, you know, I told you so or whatever, but he was the one that was also caught with Dak Prescott at a party when they were supposed to be quarantined down in Texas, and he ends up with the coronavirus. So, personally, from my opinion, I don't really have too much sympathy on the guy. I don't want to see anything happen to him, but, you know, he wasn't taking the precautions, and now he's ended up with the coronavirus, and it seems like, you know, some of these unnecessary risks have led to some of this stuff that we've been hearing about here recently. What do you think?
I mean, I hear you. I think you're pretty hard on Zeke, Chris. I gotta be honest with you. But I mean, I hear what you're saying, but people are going to get it. It's obviously a way around it. I mean, it's okay. The, you know, Ivy League, there's already college players. They're going to sit out the season. I mean, everyone's going to have their own stand view on how to do this. It's really hard to please everybody. You're not going to be able to. No one's going to take precautions that everyone thinks should. You know, it's so just assume. I mean, it's just like injury, really. Just assume it's going to happen. You know, and that's why I'm more on having a deep team than a top heavy team, because everybody gets hurt. People miss games, suspensions, holdouts, whatever. But if you have the depth behind it to, you know, survive through, and then you get the studs back, you're in a really good spot.
You know, you make a good point with that, and that's something that I wanted to bring this with you, is, you know, it's going to change the way we draft in fantasy this year, I think, because you do, if you have somebody that's positive, you know, they may be out for a week or two. So, you know, does it make the handcuffs to these players a little bit more valuable? Like, say Zeke were to you miss a couple of weeks, you know, that brings up Tony Pollard's name. You know, does it make these guys who are going to get limited touches because of the workloads of these major running backs, does it make them more worth having on your team, even in shallower leagues?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like, okay, so, you know, Dalvin Cook and the holdout, you know, how much more valuable is Madison now? Anybody, if you just automatically take Zeke out for three games, two games, one game, whatever, Pollard's value skyrockets. You know, that's why in most of the drafts I've done this year, all I've drafted is backup running backs. I mean, I've taken a lot of backup running backs over, you know, good receivers just because of the, you know, the scarcity of the position. And, you know, when was the last time you couldn't trade a running back?
Right.
It's never an issue.
Right.
And at some point in time, these guys are going to have value either to start them or to trade them for something that you either can start or something you can use for the future.
So now, is that a strategy that you just took now because of the coronavirus, and you're thinking, you know, sorry, is it something that, you know, you also think makes sense even without the COVID-19 being in the fact?
Yeah, I mean, I think we just, I mean, just the evolution of fantasy football. You know, it used to be the every team had the workhorse running back, and now it's every team has, well, whatever running back is healthy, really. I mean, I can't imagine how many actual, you know, starting running backs you could use last year in fantasy. It's got to be a ridiculous amount. Like quarterbacks, there were 48 quarterbacks or more that started a game last year in the NFL. So running back wise, I mean, and just to have a guy that ends up in that opportunity, it's like, you know, Mike Boone at the end of the year last year, you know, he screwed everyone over, but he was in the opportunity and had that. And if he would have came through, then, you know, that's exactly what you're looking for. And people last year were trading Mike Boone for, you know, first round picks, second round picks, just because someone needed them because they had Dalvin Cook or whatever. You know, when you're in that position that, okay, what do I want to give up to win a championship?
Yeah, well, Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison were both hurt. That's what put Mike Boone up there at the forefront. It's like, okay, both these guys are down. Boone's going to – he's going to get some work, you know, while these guys are hurt.
Yeah, exactly. In 20 weeks, who the hell was Mike Boone and what was he doing? Nothing. So he wasn't worth anything. But then there you are. You're in a position now you're worth a first-round pick when 3 weeks ago you weren't worth a fourth-round pick.
Right, and it changes week to week. And that's the love of the fantasy football thing is you have a guy and you've got a deep guy, you know, and it may work out for you to where, you know, you're in a pinch and, you know, you can either A, somebody else is in a pinch maybe, trade the guy that you had on your bench and get something for him, or you're able to use the guy because of injury somewhere else, you know, and it may work out for you and you may be able to find a diamond in the rough and he pull out a win for you right there at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
What is your outlook, and what do you think? I mean, we've had some more outbreaks here, you know, as you know, the United States is kind of getting back to somewhat of a similar, a decent routine. We've had some more outbreaks. What is your personal outlook, and your thoughts on the college football season and the NFL season? Do you think? I mean, we're sliding for you know, somewhat normal.
I mean, I guess right now, I think mostly it's not normal. I think beginning with there's not going to be any fans, which would be that'd be interesting to see. I don't know. You know, I don't know what they would develop and what they because the whole issue is you know how close they get in the sport. And I don't know what wearing a mask is really going to help that. And you know, you could wipe out the entire starting lineup of a team in a week if they all test positive. So I guess I just don't know. You know, that's the bad thing. But I mean, again, I just plan accordingly, and the deeper my roster, the better I am, in my opinion. Hopefully no one gets sick. Hopefully they figure it out, even if they – I mean, really, they could play with no fans in the stadium for all I care because, like, I'm probably not going to a game this year. I wouldn't think so. And so I just need their numbers. Like, they could play 11-on-11 with no pads, two-hand touch, and I'm cool with that. That's fine.
Yeah,
I just need the stats. That's all I need.
I was listening to a podcast this morning, and Corey Clark is one of the senior writers for WarChant.com, and he had said that college football can't be the first group to come out and play. You know, with this whole issue with Major League Baseball, you know, might not even happen. He said he's afraid, you know, of college football. It can't be the first, you know, entity to come out and take the field or whatever. He said we need a professional sports, not even to be soccer, it could be, you know, basketball or something to come out. He said the college shouldn't first. They should work off what somebody else is doing and kind of build it from there. And I thought he hit that right on the head with what he was talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but I mean, it's not like the NCAA is the little leagues or something, you know. I mean, they're still professionals running the league, and you would think that they would have consultants coming in and, you know, basically telling them what to do and how to do it anyway. I thought that basically from what I heard, all the NFL teams have had to like redo their facilities to make sure that they comply with everything that they need to comply with. They've had like COVID specialists come in and make sure everything's up to par. So you would assume that they would just be going ahead with that right now in any professional sport or college sport, because I don't know, you know, I mean, at this point, it's not going to end anytime soon. You know, it's not like we're just going to all take our masks off and go back to normal. So if you just assume that it's going to continue like this and you just figure out how to deal with the new normal and until it's not, hopefully one, you know, sometime soon we can go back to how we were, but till then you just assume that you're not and prepare otherwise.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. I was listening to another podcast because that's what I do at work, is work and listen to podcasts. But there was another one I was listening to, and it said they had some pictures from back when we had the epidemic back with the flu back in, you know, whatever it was, 100 years ago. And they had pictures, and it had people in the stands, and they had masks on back then. So, you know, if we can work around it back then, with our technologies and everything we have today and age, I think we can do it then if they was able to do it, you know, back then.
Oh yeah, I'm waiting for like the NFL to come out with some kind of closed helmet that you know, has like cameras in it, and you can see and hear, and you know, the just the complete full package experience of your favorite players, and you know, it costs like $300 a year or whatever, an arm and a leg. They want to cut, you know, they want to charge you, but it'd be cool as shit to see.
Yeah, it really would be.
They don't have to worry about germs and you know, anything like that. It'd be all cool.
So before we get into our IDP breakdown for the evening, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to kind of give me your lay of the land right now when you're looking at your rosters. And I know we've drafted several leagues already, and you've probably had leagues that you're in, you know, that have already drafted, even redrafts, you know, startups, dynasties, rookie drafts, whatever. What's your focus right now, you know, on your fantasy as opposed to, you know, not make the boring trade or whatever? What's your mindset this time of year before we start to ramp up, you know, preseason, which is kind of a good month away yet?
Really, I'm just kind of going through like a league at a time. Like each day, I'll just kind of go through my teams and just reevaluate. You know, really now I'm just trying to gather information. You know, I do the same thing you do. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I, you know, look at news updates, you know, just staying as informed as you can. You know, there's no real mini camps happening, or, I mean, there's not a lot of news you can get, but kind of studying, I guess, metrics somewhat. You know, I use a player profiler a lot. Just tells you like burst scores, speed scores, things like that. And just, I don't know, kind of looking for either players you might want to acquire, you know, if you need in each league to succeed. You know, just kind of think, okay, am I this year? Am I already done by next year? If so, do I get full rebuild mode? You know, you're just reevaluating yourself, just kind of seeing what can you do to take your team. Don't do crazy. There's one league I was trying to make a big trade in, but this guy wants too much, I think. Let me ask you this trade question. Let's see, and I know you're a big fan of Leonard Fournette. Sorry to know what your answer is going to be. I'm in win now. I won the league 2 years in a row. Got second last year, so okay. I'm win now, and I'm like, it's like the end of my win now mode, and it's like it's going into rebuild. This is like the last year, so I'm trying to just make one last push for it.
Right.
But anyway, I was looking to get Leonard Fournette, and he wants my 2021 first, Chris Carson, Antonio Gibson. Yeah, and that's it. So what's your thought on that?
Man, that's a lot. I guess my question to you is Leonard Fournette going to be a piece where you think if you add Leonard Fournette, that piece will help push you to another championship?
I'm real nervous about Chris Carson, which is why he was even part of the conversation.
Okay.
But I haven't heard anything negative against him. You know, he's still going pretty high in startups. His value's not going down, so I feel like a first in him is already probably too much for Fournette. Plus, Fournette got some added competition with Chenault. I think he's going to take some of his receptions away, him and Chris Thompson, because he got, what was it, like 70 receptions last year? 76, I think it was. A lot.
More than I thought. I started looking at some numbers.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. So I feel like they're going to that. And so, but first, I'm not upset about getting out of this game. I should make it first. But I was like, my one first. Darren Evans, Orton, and Denzel Mims. That's what I was trying to get out there.
Yeah, that would be a better one, in my opinion. I mean, if you're in a car for net and you're trying to make that one last push before you, you know, start to, you know, you've already said you think maybe the window's shutting there. And if you're trying to do this one last time and then you know next year's probably going to fall apart, then go ahead and do it if you're trying to push for that. But here's something else. It's a two-headed sword because you've got a lot of guys that are first-round pick. Antonio Gibson, who could turn out to be a little diamond in the rough for Washington, and you know, maybe that could be part of your future. But here's what we talk about a lot is you have championship capital. And that's what I was going to talk about a little bit later on. You have championship capital in that league already, so you can afford to kind of, you know, make a decision that you normally wouldn't make because you're already resting a couple of championships in the league.
Yeah, this league has funded my fantasy addiction the last 2 years.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So, I mean, I guess, and I'm not big on Fournette. To me, you know, he had a really good season last year. It was kind of a quiet season. Like I said, I didn't realize the receptions that he had and things of that nature. So, I mean, he's definitely poised to have another good year because it's also a contract year, I think, for him. And I kind of think he wants out. So, I mean, what's that?
I agree. I agree. It was going to be traded, and then they were done with him, and I'm like, oh, everything's fine. I'm like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, so. something's not right there, and he's kind of a different guy anyway. So, I mean, if that piece will help, you know, help you win a championship, then I'd be all for it. You know, my personal feelings, you know, with him aside, I didn't think he was the best running back coming in. You know, people thought I was crazy, you know, but if you look at it, his college numbers, sure, were better than Cooks and Christian McCaffrey's and James Conner's. But, you know, if you look at it now, you know, Cook healthy is better than him. Christian McCaffrey's way better than him in the pros. So, you know, I haven't really liked the guy, you know, fantasy value from day one. So, I mean, all that aside, though, you know, if he can help you win that another championship, then I think you'll make the deal and then just let the chips fall on the offseason. You can get first round, get some point from somebody else. So, you know, I'd say maybe go ahead and do it.
I hear you. But we got like the entire round and rookie episode.
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
This might be too much to like my taxi says, like Ashford and Jalen, Quez Watkins, Ernest Sardis. He's one of my favorites. But that's the taxi on this one. But anyway, other than to get back to your button, so we got on the danger.
That's good. I like it.
Yeah, really just reacting to the team, just kind of being honest with where you're at, because if you think you're going to be good or not, then you just, like, stay in the middle forever, and that sucks, because never, like, you don't want playoffs, but you make playoffs, you get, you know, losing the first round. It's like, but to...
Very good. And I like this. You said you go over your teams. I go over my teams, especially if you're multiple weeks. I go over my team on a regular basis. Try to keep, you know, fresh in my mind, because if you're starting to keep track of all the moving pieces. So I try to go over my leagues all the time, even if I'm just going over and just study who I got. It's just habit of okay, well, I got this guy. I got to make sure that this guy's in the right league, and it just helps. So I'm constantly going over my teams and looking at who I got, who I can pick up, who maybe, you know, somebody forgot or overlooked, and, you know, now it's a great time to pick up somebody. You know, and I'm constantly doing that.
Yeah, I agree. Also, a good time to review your scoring, just to refresh your memory on what scoring is. If you want to, if you have done your rookie draft, so, you know, something you want to make sure you apply to the rookie draft, or if you already have, just make sure that, you know, a PPR versus standard. Not that many people do standard anymore. I mean, that makes a big difference for a lot of players and just different things like that. You know, the Chumps League, you know, half point per carry makes a huge difference versus a no points per carry league.
Absolutely. Know your scoring and know your roster breakdown. Okay. I joined the C&D Pi League. Possibility of starting four quarterbacks in that league. Okay. Two thirds of the league didn't look at, you know, who they were starting. They just drafted. So I'm loading up quarterbacks the whole entire first 8 or 9 rounds. I took Michael Thomas in the first round, and then I went on to run a quarterback. And I get a trade offer for these quarterbacks on teams, on these guys that took, you know, two quarterbacks in a system start, possibly four. And he goes, well, I didn't look at the system. I didn't think you could start four quarterbacks. I mean, you've got to pay attention to that, because now you're screwed, because you're going to have to pay me dearly for a quarterback. I made him pay me. He wanted Joe Burrow, and I wanted a king's ransom for Joe Burrow. He goes, this is a crap trip. I'm like, we can start four quarterbacks. You're the one on the outside here. Okay, it's not my fault. You didn't do your due diligence on what league you're joining. So if you want Joe Burrow to pay for him, he didn't want him. I made a deal for a first pick next year in Buda Baker, and I gave him Sam Darnold. So, I mean, it was you have to know your league you're in.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I agree. I did a startup. It's a 14-team. It's a full IDP. You start 11 or 12 offense and defense. And 14-team, like, I normally go quarterback early because they're valuable. Really, the more teams in the league, the more valuable quarterbacks are, because it's super flex, so I can start, too.
And they go quick then.
Yeah, and started off Carson Wentz, and got later, and then in the rookie draft, ended up drafting Tua and Justin Herbert. I couldn't believe that. Tua fell to 107. That blew my mind.
Wow.
And Herbert fell to the end of the first round. I had three picks at the end of the first round. That's the one I traded for Patrick Mahomes.
What's the chances Tua plays this year for the Miami Dolphins?
He's gonna. I mean, as long as he's healthy, he's gonna play. It's just a matter of when.
You think he plays week one, or you think they? It's until Fitzpatrick throws that 4-interception game.
Yeah, he's not gonna play week one. They're gonna give him, I would say, at least 4 games, just to number one, make sure they have an offensive line that can protect him and get him beat to death. I would hope, anyway. Make sure they have a sense of an offense, which, I mean, you know, shouldn't be deep. It should be decent, I would think. I like Fitzpatrick. They graded at running back. I think they graded at O-line, too. I'm sure they did. Somebody they drafted. But, you know, but they're not going to throw him out there. Plus, to make sure, you know, he knows the offense. And so it'll be minutes. Him and Herbert, kind of a race who gets to start first.
Right,
you know.
Right. That one with Herbert is a little bit more intriguing to me. Because, you know, he's not coming off a nasty injury. It's just a matter of when, you know, as opposed to if with him and him taking over that offense out there. And, you know, Tyrod's going to be, you know, decent for the amount of time that they're going to give him. But, like you said, it's just a race to see. But I'm really interested, you know, with Herbert when he does get the chance, what he's doing with it.
Yeah, I mean, unless Fitzpatrick or Tyrod come out and they start the teams to know, you know, why.
You're benching them then, yeah.
Yeah, then you're not. I mean, if you're really in the, you know, you got a shot to win, yeah, you're going to keep them in. But if not, you know, if you start out 2-4, okay, now's the time.
Yeah, now we're making a move because, you know, we're about 2 games being eliminated from playoff contention, and we've probably already cost ourselves, you know, the division. So, yeah, we're going to make a move now, definitely.
Yeah, we're done. We're either going to see, okay, hey, that's what do we got for next year, or, hey, maybe we'll come in the next whatever, Tom Brady, and lead us to the playoffs. You know, I don't know.
Right on. So that's going to put us into our segment for the evening. We're going to base this on IDP, and I wanted to do this. We talked about it, you know, in the pre-season 3 meeting where I wanted to do a couple of IDP-based podcasts where, you know, before – the last couple of seasons, I've just kind of hit missed on it and grabbed some players here and there. I kind of want to take a deep dive with both of us and get some real IDP knowledge out there because not everybody plays IDP. Not everybody is aware, you know, and once they do play IDP, it seems like they're kind of hooked on it. So we wanted to go through here and give some names of some good players, some bad players, stay away from players. And we're going to go with defensive line, linebackers, and defensive backs. We're going to just cluster into corners, safeties, or both. So, Brian, I'm going to give you the floor here first. You want to start? We want to start on the line, backers, or defensive backs. You want to go first?
I was going to do D-line first.
Okay, sounds good. So, let's just kind of go back and forth here. You go down the list. Give me one guy that you think is you know, a good guy to have. I'll give you one, and then we'll just kind of go. We'll just kind of play off of that. What do you think?
That's cool with me, man.
I wonder how many of these guys are going to have the same players. So go ahead and give me.
All over the place, I bet.
Probably so. So okay, where are we going first?
All right, I'm going. This is my undervalued guys, which used to be, I guess, studs. If, you know, according to like yours, I think they're. And they're definitely good. My first guy is Cam Hayward. He was the actual number 3 D lineman last year. And he's older. You know, he's 31. But normally D linemen, especially someone like him, can produce to their early 30s. And he plays for the Steelers. You know, he's been there forever now. But he's just like an anchor. He had 82 tackles last year and 9 sacks. So somebody I like. And you can get him late. I drafted him, what round was it? I can't remember. Really late. Really late. And you get solid production from him. Like, it's the number 3 overall D lineman last year. I think his tackles are going to dip this year, but I think his sacks are going to go up with Ben being back in there. So they're going to be a kind of different game script. He had so many tackles last year, in my opinion, because he was Mason Ruff and Buck Hodgins.
Yeah.
Quarterback sticking up the field. So, right. You know, that's why his tackle numbers were inflated. But his could flip a little sack, go up, tackles go down, and, you know, kind of depending on your league. One thing you want to make sure is, you know, your league, is it more tackle heavy or is it more big play heavy? You know, like in the Chumps League, a sack is worth 6 points. Plus, I think you get the tackle for a loss with another point. So, I think it ends up being like a 7-point play when you get a sack. So.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. And yeah. One thing I'd like to add on about with Hayward there, he's a very durable player. You know, as I think back in my mind, you don't see him missing too many games. You look down the injury report and he's out. And he's a very durable and a very reliable player that you can have, you know, a weekend starter and also be somebody that, you know, you need him a really good play 5 week or somebody's injured. He's a very good play and he seems to always be out there.
He is not expensive, and you know, I like guys that produce on the defensive side of the ball. They're not expensive.
Yeah. So I'm gonna kind of just spread out that, and one of the guys I have as listed as a sleeper and maybe a breakout candidate this year will be on the D line, be Marcus Davenport. He's I think he's going into his third year, and he's had a little bit of injuries. He had a really good year last year, and he's poised to break out and have a very good season this year if he can stay on the healthy side. And he would be one of my sleeper candidates there for the Saints as well, correct?
Yep, he's on my list too.
Yeah, I like him. I have a few shares of him in different leagues, and I'm kind of counting on him to stay healthy and well this year because he's probably going to be my weekend starter, most weeks.
I hear you. He's definitely someone who's got a lot of upside. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be window. You should have a lot of chance for that, especially playing Cam Jordan. I got a few sleepers. Most of mine are like guys that play opposite a stud, or like two of them are, I guess. So I'll
Okay.
get to them then.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and throw a stud out there real quick, and this pains me. Okay, I'm going to compare them up. It's the Bosa brothers. Okay,
Oh, yeah.
if you're just now starting an IDE or you're just now getting into it or whatever, and you don't know, the Bosa brothers are both really good acquisitions on the D line for you. And guys are going to go with the defense start off a little bit in draft. The guys are going to go at top end. So both those guys are just phenomenal football players, and that puke a little every time I say that. But you have to recognize talent. So if you can get your hands on either one of those guys, you're going to be really well off on your D line with Joe and Nick Bosa.
Yeah, the most recent startup I did, they were the fifth and sixth defensive players.
What's the backup?
Well, no, but
Oh.
defense, yeah.
Okay, let's see.
Do you like that? You're Nick and Joey.
Well, I got a because I hate you. I had a good bet on that. I don't dislike the jerks. And I guess both of them, I don't know. You kind of got to go, I think, has a chance to maybe be a little bit better as a pro than maybe Joey does. You just see it. I mean, they look so similar, in a lot of their stuff. But, maybe Nick's just a little bit more explosive. But, I wouldn't pass on either one of them. But the funny thing is I had Joe in the league, and I ended up trading him. I thought I had the best defensive line starting lineup I'd ever had in the Chumps League last year, and it didn't work out for me because he got hurt stuff, so Joey didn't. And then Nick got hurt a little bit. But I guess, long story short, I don't know who I like better in fantasy. Maybe lean toward Nick. Personally, lean toward Joey.
I hear you. I'm a Nick Bosa fan. Of course, everything I play is Dynasty. So number one, he's younger. Number two, the Niners have they had a good defense last year. Secondary is worse, but they've still got a D line. You put Mother instead of Buckner. You got Solomon Thomas, and I'm forgetting the other guy. But anyway, they're good, and so you can't just keep double teaming him. And man, that dude is all over the place. I love watching him.
Oh,
So
yeah.
I was two picks away in the startup from having Myles Garrett and Nick Bosa.
Ooh.
It's a bummer. I got Myles Garrett, but Nick Bosa went. And that was gonna be my pair. I like to have at least one top D lineman,
Yeah.
and then fill in a couple other ones. But
Yeah.
I was gonna start those two just because I love them. I really love them.
It's a very an underrated position. You'll find out quick in IDP that if you don't have at least one D lineman, you're going to struggle. Just because, it's kind of like running backs. Once the top seven or eight are gone, then, whatever. But if you can get one of those four or five linemen, in IDP, it's going to help you significantly. If you're struggling and you've got, three or middle order, bottom enders, you're going to struggle. And you may not suffer, but you're going to, like, oh, man, my D line just sinks.
I agree. There's like six. Like, first there's six, and then everybody else. I mean,
Yeah.
like literally everybody else. I mean, the guys you get, okay. So in this startup, I'll reference the startups most we did. Max Crosby went 11-11, and Marcus Davenport went at 22-03.
Wow.
Melvin Ingram 26-04. Like
Wow.
there's something. It's not. Just pick somebody later on, That's like I didn't draft. I drafted Aaron. I didn't draft another. Let's see. Finally. Drafted Christian Wilkins in the 23rd round.
Max
So.
Crosby is one of the guys bringing him up. I have him as a some sleeper. Had a very productive rookie season there for the Raiders, and kind of just nowhere. And we're like, who is this guy? And he's just putting up time numbers. every week, and you put him on the list, so I might as well put him out there. He was on my sleeper list for the Raiders this year, and I think he's going to his second season, and he could really have a really good season this year.
I actually have him as overrated.
Okay. All right. Nothing wrong with that. I like a little difference every now and then.
Yeah, you know, he wasn't bad, but he was propped up. He had this whole game, and I know he wasn't in this huge game. And, you know, that was like, let's see, like almost half his production, basically.
Very true. I do remember that, because that's kind of when he came out of nowhere, I guess, was that four-sack game. So, you know, you may be right. He may be on the overrated side of the ball. So, where are you going next? Who you got next?
Oh, here we go. I'm going to go more sleepers. We like sleepers. I'm going to give you a trio of sleepers, okay?
Okay.
And this is actually three guys I drafted in sleeps, like, real late. Chad Thomas for Cleveland, Carl Lawson for Cincinnati, and Josh Sweat for Philadelphia.
Florida State.
Those are my sleepers. Yeah, I like that. but Chad Thomas, he got a lot of work last year. Of course, Myles Garrett gets suspended, Olivier Vernon getting hurt, and looked pretty good. Really, and I Myles Garrett come back and he can be like the number two to him. I don't think that, you know, they're really tied to Olivier Vernon. So, or if he gets hurt again, if he can get the same amount of playing time and be opposite Myles Garrett, I think he's going to have better stats and look a lot better in fantasy.
Also, younger, you're getting a lot more years out of him in your leagues as well. So, big time plus right there.
Yeah, and all these guys are super young, like 22, 23, 24, like at the oldest. So, you know, that's why this is when you, like, if you can grab them late and just kind of see, you know, just hold on to a couple games if you can. Because this is a pretty deep roster. I think this is a 42 plus, so it's 52 man roster, I think it is. Yeah.
Wow, that's deep.
So, yeah, so you got a lot of guys.
So let me ask you this. I want to switch to Josh for a minute. In the podcast league, I need a D lineman. I've been trying to figure out who I can go and pick one up. Josh Sweat's available. Is it worth for me? This is an actual question for an actual. Should I go and pick him up and stash him at a spot like for him? I can drive him to pick him up. Is it worth my while to go pick him up just to have him on my roster and see what he does?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think so. So last year on the Eagles, he was fourth in snaps. Okay. That was with Vinny Curry there. He's still a free agent. He's not been signed. So that should at least move him up into third in snaps, which should increase, you know, his output. The Eagles, as long as their offense fall apart, should have some fairly positive game script. And having the Eagles, an Eagles D-line is always, I mean, a little hit or miss, you know. I mean, it is because they normally have a rotation. But if it ends up being a smaller rotation or he's getting more snaps, you know, be playing well, then, you know, that's a guy you want to have. Like, you want defensive ends on teams that should be good.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. So, yeah, I saw him out there, and I thought, you know what, I don't know. He had a great career at Florida State. I think he was a little bit underrated at Florida State. He came out, he landed, I thought he had landed in a good position with Philadelphia. So I thought, you know, give it a year or so, and he may be a guy that, you know, is going to end up on the field, you know, all the time. He's got a tremendous, he's very, very fast. And so I'm hoping it works out for him this year, you know, as a Noel fan, you know, and not really an E fan, but, you know, I'm going to root for him just because he's from Tallahassee.
Yeah, I hear you.
On that note, and my other sleeper I got wrote down is from another guy from Florida, Brian Burns. Going into his second year at Carolina, they let Irvin go back to Seattle. It's going to be his job on the defense inside of the ball. He had 7.5 sacks. He was just wrecking havoc when he was playing, when Irvin was hurt. So, you know, I love him this year. I got a few shares. What do you think about Brian Burns?
Yeah, I mean, I like him. I like, Gross Matos, the opposite.
Yes.
Yeah, I like both of them, really. That's the opportunity. I mean, they're young, and they're ready to go, and they spent draft capital on them. So, those are the guys you want. It should be, I guess Carolina should have I don't want to say an improved offense, but a more efficient offense. So I feel like they're going to be like the Cardinals of last year. They're going to have most play increases, which is going to help their defense. And of course, Luke Kuechly, that's a bill on a lot of tackles. I assume these have to be the two starting defensive ends. So that's fun to watch.
Yeah, I so too. I think those are the guys that I know. Our lads has both those guys penciled in. Our lads, I don't think they've tested a whole lot yet, though. don't really go with what they say 100% until about, you know, July comes around. But who are some guys you want to stay away from on the defensive line? I got to look, may surprise you. You stay away from the D-line.
I got two. My top two are Aaron Donald and Robert Quinn. Those are the two.
Okay. Well, I've got three, and mine's Aaron Donald, J. Watt, Chase Young.
Yeah, actually, Chase Young is honorable mention. I didn't include any rookie in mine. I don't know why I just want to talk about vets. I guess mostly, but yeah, he's for sure.
And the reason for Chase Young is just going to have to be everything for me. I just kind of want to – he's going to get to start day one. He's going to be the guy, second overall pick in the draft. He's going to get it to eat. But, I mean, he's going to be in it. And I'll go to college in this one again. He appeared in the bigger game, and he's going to be playing bigger games for 16 weeks now. So I want to see it. It's not somebody I'm just rushing to get. He foolishly went at the 102 in a draft recently I was in. He went one position. I thought that was astonishing. But the guy said he had to have Chase Young, so, you know, whatever. But no way in the world he should ever go 102. In a redraft startup like that, but he did, and it blew my mind because he's not even a guy that, you know, I would play probably in Dynasty, draft him obviously, but I wouldn't roll him out there week one for sure.
He went number two overall?
He did. He really did. That happened.
Not just a rookie draft?
No, this was a startup league.
You gotta email that.
He caught it.
Oh, man. Now, here's what I'll say. Last year, I was in a rookie draft, and the guy was trying to trade out of the 101. Nobody wanted to give him a thing. And he took Ed Oliver 101 ahead of Kyler Murray. And it's like, well, what in the hell is wrong with you?
Wow. Yeah, I picked a 103 position in that league. And I think Mahomes or Jackson first. And I thought, okay, well, leave me with this. And then he took Chase Young. And it dropped Christian McCaffrey right into my lap. I'm like, okay, thanks, I'll take him.
Do you get like 15 points a sack?
No, you don't.
That's something to consider. I've thought about doing a league like that, where like your IDP is definitely elsewhere. Your offensive players, it's like super inflated. Like, I don't know what it'd be. I haven't even played around with it, but at some point that might happen.
Wow, that'd be kind of interesting. So I got Donald and Watt basically for Donald, to me, sack dependent. And like you said before, in a league where, you know, if you get to the quarterback, get a sack, it's a lot of bonus. But he's sack dependent to me. J.J. Watt can't stay on the field, and he's got a lot of injuries. So those big names, you know, high-priced players that I'm staying away from, you know, early on when IDP guys start to drop. Now, if they fall down later on, then sure, take them. But it's not guys I'm going to be targeting, you know, at the top when IDP guys start to go.
Yeah, according to Sleeper, and I mean, I know their IDP ranks ain't great, but their ADP for Aaron Donald versus D-Lon Offer. So that's too much. Last year, he was the number 10 D-line. And again, it just depends on scoring. It's based off the Chumps League scoring. But a couple of weeks, he's like 9, 10. He's pretty close. So Cam Hayward, number 3. Cam Hayward way later than Donald.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let somebody else take Donald. Let somebody else have that problem with J.J. Watt. And you take those guys that are going to be a little bit more, make more sense for you later on in the draft. Let's switch to linebackers now. And you know, we can go on first. We can got people stay away from studs. Where do you want to go first with linebackers, Brian?
Hey, quick thing on Chase Young, too, something to consider, which I didn't even know. I was listening to the IPS podcast, and I think on MFL, which is my fantasy league, Chase Young got declared a linebacker on the site. So if he ends a linebacker instead of a D-line, like, his value is trash, in my opinion. I don't want any part. It's like the Khalil Mack. If Khalil Mack's a defensive lineman, okay, that's fine. If he's a linebacker, then you don't even want him, really.
Right.
That's a high sack league. If it's a 10-point sack, but it really hurts his value if that's the case.
It sure does. Yeah, that's something to maintain, something to look at. You know, you got to look at where these guys are listed. You know, Jabril Peppers is listed as a defensive back and a linebacker on Sleeper. You claim him in both spots. You really, you know, if you put him in the defensive back position, you know, and you get 12 tackles, you're really going to make out. But, you know, if you put him, you know, at the linebacker position and he gets 4 or 5 tackles, you know, you're going to struggle. So you can play him in both, but defensive back's probably where you want to keep, you know, Peppers. That's kind of his lane.
Yeah, exactly. I agree 100%. Let's see. What I'll start with is my number one overvalued linebacker at Jack Wright.
Okay. And this probably has something to do with the point adjustment in Devy League, huh?
Oh, well, this was, you know, he came out of nowhere last year.
Right.
And had what was like 19 and a half sacks. I mean, that's like, and I know they should be good this year, and sure, maybe he can continue it, but he's, you know, he's like he's top five linebacker going right now just because of last year, and it's not enough, I guess. And so I'm not willing to spend that high of a pick on him.
Right. It's a thing with Shaq Barrett to me. They don't have him on any spectrum of stud, sleepers, or stayaways. He's just a guy to me where if he's there and I'm willing to take him there, that's fine. I'm going to. I definitely wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't shy away from it. But it's not a guy that I just long to have and think, okay, this guy here is a must-have. If he's there and I can get him, great. If not, somebody else gets him, that's great too.
Yeah, I actually have him in several leagues because of I picked him up off waivers last year because no one owned him in any of my IDP leagues. So yeah. That's like, you know, that generally tells you something. When you go from nobody owned you to number one overall linebacker, you know, Darius Leonard did it, but he was a freaking rookie. So right. Shaq Barrett was paying for, like, you know, his next contract.
And Darius Leonard backed it up with the second season last year that was – Just as I mean, it wasn't as good as a rookie year, but it was fantasy football worthy to be one of the guys on my stud list. With his, you know, he had five sacks and five interceptions to go along with his numbers last year. So he's not a flash hand in my opinion, Darius Leonard.
Oh no, he's the number one overall linebacker. You know, he's everyone loves him. That's who you draft first. I drafted him over. Let me ask you this: who do you have? Darius Leonard, Kareem Hunt, Devontae Parker, Austin Hooper.
Oh, it's there for me.
Yeah, I was the first one to say,
Yeah, I broke Vince's heel in the CD pods. But there's took him a couple of rounds before I wanted to, but I didn't want anybody else to have him, so I just took him.
Yeah, I wanted to have him. I didn't want him to have him. But this is Shaq Barrett since he's in the NFL. This is his fantasy finishes. 91, 39, 70, 47, 186.
So you think that maybe it's possible that I saw him peak last year. Is what kind of thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine the, you know, he's the plus. There's other linebackers, you know, Levante David's on that team, Devin White's on that team. You know, they got other talent.
Yep.
So he's the pass rusher, which, you know, I'm not saying it's not sustainable, but I wouldn't bank on, I guess.
Right. So who you got? Where you got? Where we're going next?
See, do some undervalued guys. Guys I like that. You know. Cheap. Dre Greenlaw.
I was going to put him on my list, and I thought I got a couple other guys. I'm glad you brought him up, though.
Yeah, he, of course, Quan starts in front of him, but we all know how that's going to end. And because I've owned Quan in leagues for years now, so he's going to get hurt, you know, and, you know, Dre Greenlaw was great last year. I watched to give this guy credit. I'm watching a video on Twitter. And this guy was breaking down some Dre Greenlaw tape, and he was number six in the NFL in overall tackle efficiency, which I didn't even know was a metric until I got brought up.
Wow, me either.
Did I retweet it? I might have retweeted it. I forget. If not, I will because I can't. But anyway, I'll retweet him because it was. But he was basically just talking about how good Greenlaw was and how good he played and how instinctual he was. Like those are the guys that you want. You got the ball. You want Joe Schobert. You know, if you have a team full of Joe Schobert, you're going to have real consistent good scoring because they're always going to get tackled, because they're always on the ball, because that's what they do. They might not make some big, giant, splashy plays all the time, but they're going to get you, you know, Blake Martinez is going to get you 150 tackles because he's always going to be around the ball. He might not be able to cover for shit, and he might catch the ball to tackle you, but I don't care because that still gets me 2 points.
Right, and, you know, we didn't look over each other's notes. We didn't compare notes or anything like that. Joe Schobert is another guy on my sleeper list. He changed teams. He's Jacksonville now, same exact reasons. You know, I think he's a plug-and-play guy. You know, he's going to get in there, he's going to find the ball, and he's going to put up solid numbers for you, you know, and he's going to be a guy that you can rely on week in and week out. You love Joe Schobert, even with the new team.
Yeah, I do too. He's like Paul Posluszny, you know, reincarnated. I mean, he's just going to be piling up tackles. He's in the middle of the defense. You know, Jacksonville, I don't think he's going to be good. I don't think they're a good defense, at least. You know, they might have competent offense, but I think they're going to be losing, and you want the middle linebacker on a team that's going to be losing. It's going to add up tackles. And,
right, because he's going to be losing, which means the other team's going to be running the ball, which means he's going to pile up points. So, yeah, that's good math right there.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw two names at you right here. I think one, I don't know, I'm not sure about the opportunity with the addition of the rookie coming in, but the one guy was kind of, you know, had a decent run last year, A.J. Johnson from Denver, 46 tackles, 48 assists, 1.5 sacks, an interception. What do you think about him? And also Drew Tranquil for the Chargers. I know they got Kenneth Murray coming in. What's your thoughts on Drew Tranquil and A.J. Johnson as a potential, you know, guys this upcoming season?
Yeah, I had Drew Tranquil on my sleeper list and actually marked him off, which I'm not sure why I marked him off. There's a lot of opportunity there because it's kind of him and Kenneth Murray. And I guess Tranquil is better at passing situations than what I've read and seen. And Kenneth Murray is more your tackle. Your tackler, that's going to get you the tackle. But you don't really want him in coverage. So I like Drew Tranquil. I think he's definitely going to have opportunity. And that team could be good, but it could also be bad.
Yeah.
So I think there's definitely a lot of opportunity there, and it is someone I like. The Denver linebackers, I'm kind of staying away from. It's kind of a mess to me. There's kind of a lot of guys there. I don't 100% know who's starting and who's starting where, and the depth charts I've seen have not cleared anything up. It's like them and, we'll say, the Rams linebackers. In Cleveland, I'll include in there too. Also Cincinnati, there's guys there you like, but I mean, you're just guessing at who is going to be starting and who's going to be the guys getting the points in those situations. There's guys I like. You know, I like Kenny Young in the Rams the best, but Micah Kizer is young and they could give him a shot. You know, Cleveland, I know BJ Goodson could end up being the best guy because he's a vet and, you know, he could be playing the middle linebacker. But so it's all tough in those situations. So I don't know. I got to abstain from that one, I guess.
No problem. That's why I put him on my list, because I want your opinion. A guy I'm going to stay away from about everywhere. I've been burnt with him for a couple of years. And I'm just, even when he's on the field, he doesn't really produce a whole lot. That doesn't really. And that's Hassan Reddick from Arizona. Just not real sure about him and what's going on with him. So I'm staying away from Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, I don't have him anywhere. When he came out, he was, you know, kind of first draft pick, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was. At a Temple.
So he was pretty high, and yeah, he's never really turned into anything. He might have had off-field trouble. I forget. It might have been somebody else. But yeah, he just never really materialized into what, you know, we really thought he could be. And see, I don't have him on one team.
Right. So who you got for some linebacker studs? I got four or five guys here wrote down, and obviously Darius Leonard. Who's some guys you got some surefire hitters on when guys draft limes fall?
Oh man, there's a good first group of them. I like Blake Martinez. I like him more than school, but his tackle numbers are sky. I think Deion Jones increases this year because Devondre Campbell to Arizona.
Correct.
And leaves more tackles behind for him, as long as he stays healthy. But I mean, again, he's somebody. TJ Watt's going to get you a lot of sacks. He's kind of the best in the world other than Darius Leonard. He'll get you a lot of sacks than the most linebackers, and he'll give you a decent amount of tackles. Other than that, the young one, Evan White, you know, Devin Bush, they're going to be good. Jalen Smith.
Love Jalen Smith.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of higher. There's a pretty good chunk of top linebackers. And after that, I mean, that's a steep drop after that.
Yeah, you can grab some serious linebacker firepower. If you have a strategy where you're okay, once the defense goes, I'm going to be pulled off, grab a couple of defensive guys, and then everybody grabbing defensive guys, you can go in the offensive side of the ball. That's worked for me a little bit. But if you can grab, let's grab Nicks and Devin White, you know, to pair up with maybe, I don't know if you could get three of those guys. Maybe you're lucky enough to get Jalen Smith, because you're definitely going to get Darius Leonard. He's going to be gone. But if you could have three names, that'd be some serious linebacker firepower for you. And then maybe come back and get you a Tranquil or a Schobert or something like that to round it out. That'd be good looking linebacking core.
Yeah, you can get a guy you laid on too. Let's see, Bernard Kenny, I got pretty late. He was like I went like linebacker, top linebackers. I took Leonard and then Blake Martinez, and then I took a bunch of rounds off. And then I took Bernard Kenny around 17. And I hit a couple in rookie drafts. You can get linebackers pretty cheap in rookie drafts. I got Kenneth Murray in the middle of the second, and Willie Gay in the third round. And at this point, I mean, they both should start, you know, I mean, barring, you know, as long as they know the defense and everything, but they're both in really good positions, so.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And linebackers are kind of like the lifeblood. I mean, even in IDP leagues where you're segregated by your D-line, your linebackers and your defensive backs. They're like blood, because your sack guys or your D linemen, defensive ends, you know, most of your sacking comes in there, but a lot of your points comes from linebackers. And you got people loading up on corners and defensive backs. You know, you go right ahead and load up on those guys. I'm going to gobble up these linebackers, and you're going to wish you had some later.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, that's the this one league I've been talking about. You can start six linebackers, and I'm currently starting with six linebackers.
Well, that sounds fun. I like it where you can, if you start two or three, and then you got two or three in the flex, you know, at four or five, anything less than four or five linebackers, and just kind of like, man, I got more to give here.
I agree. Those are the, I mean, tackles generally drive your points. You know, it's
right.
I mean, there's some ways where it's opposite and it's more big play, but I don't know. I don't think your points really get up there to where the offensive side is. To I like it. I like where at any round you consider drafting a defensive player. You know, I mean, there's like the first three rounds are definitely gonna be offense no matter what you do, but after that, really just, you know, how well does it mix?
Right, who comes to you? Like you always say, just who's coming to you? And that's kind of one of the things you always say. So you guys going to let come to me? And it's always like, man, how did we let Brian get that guy? How did he get that guy? We're always doing that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It just really depends how you look at stuff. And you know, there's a lot of different look at things. There's in a more shallow league, like a 10-team league, it's kind of more about having more top-end players and each position. The more top-end players you have at each position, the more your score is going to differentiate or be higher from the next score you. And, you know, obviously we're all trying to score the most points. And when you get a more deeper league, like a 14-team league, it kind of is more, I'm looking for a baseline of points. I mean, like consistency is more important to me than like your boom-bust. Where like a 10-team league, I'm more opt to have a Marquise Brown. Where a 14-team league, I'd more have to have Jarvis Landry, you know?
Correct. So is there anybody on the linebacking core that you're staying away from? Guys, you're like overrated, you know, you got a couple guys that you're just not going to really even target?
Barrett was my number one. Khalil Mack, if he's considered a linebacker, I don't want any part of him.
Right.
And Kyle Vannoy, just a name you know, just signed a big contract. He was the number 44 linebacker last year. He's not someone that's going to get you points, so don't draft the name. Like, I'd rather someone just look at points from last year and draft points, not know anybody's name.
You know, because a lot of crazy. That guy drove me crazy. Yeah, he was a free agent. I needed a linebacker. And I picked him up, I played him, and he fantastic week. And I thought, well, I'll play him again. And then he didn't really draft next month. And I'm like, you know what? Once again, here it is. The only player we're drafting in New England was Tom Brady.
Yeah, they did not have a lot of studs last year.
Okay, so let's move on to the defensive backs now. And this is where, you know, a lot of people get confused. And if you have a league where you pass defended, you get, you know, 2, 3, 4 points for a pass defense, the corners kind of take a little bit more of a front seat. But a lot of these guys, if you don't have like half point or pass defense or 1 point, your corners aren't as valuable and your safeties kind of pick up the slack. So let's just say for the sake of argument that, you know, you have a 2 point, you know, pass breakup point system, which makes corners a little bit more valuable. And let's go into the defensive back real quick, and who you like to stay away from, and who's some sleepers for you in the defense, Brian?
Yeah, I almost exclusively draft safeties on my defensive backs. I mean, some leagues you can act, split it up, and you can draft corner. You draft cornerbacks and safeties. That's even more difficult. Cornerbacks fall a, you know, like the it's just a streaming position. You know, you're not there's defensive backs. There's maybe top, you know, top 10 though, if that probably less, I would think. And after that, it's just everyone else, you know. But like Buddha, you know, Buddha is the number one in my opinion. I don't. It's just his tackle opportunity is far and away more than any other team. I mean, I know they added Isaiah Simmons and Devondre Campbell, but I just the amount of tackles that defense produces, I don't think it's really going to hurt anybody in that offense. He's like, I love him. You know, you gotta love Buddha.
Yeah, I love Buddha Baker. I had several of him. Number two, my number one is healthy Derwin James. I just think he's just a hybrid guy that just. He's a ball, and he flips the ball, you know, going clear back to school. You know, he just knew that he was bred to play this game. And with healthy season, he won 8 last year from injury. He looked really good last couple of games. He came back healthy. I think, you know, him and Buddha, you're number one and number two. I think those guys are the guys that if you get them, you got a really solid start in your defensive back.
Yeah, when I find doing a startup, they're too expensive. I never end up with any top defensive backs because defensive backs are like the wide receiver.
of the defensive side to be where that's normally the last position I draft.
Yeah, and it makes sense too because, you know, you got, you know, positions other positions need, and it's like you can just fall back on it and think, you know, I can grab a couple defensive backs. You can find starters. You can find starting defensive backs even in 12-team, you know, IDP leagues. You're going to find some starting defensive backs. You're not going to have a problem finding them. But, you know, if you go defensive back, you know, you're going to give up on some of their names. You know, they're going to be producing fancy points for you all the time where, you know, Derwin James probably not going to get 3 interceptions anymore. You might get, you know, 1 fumble recovery and 5 tackles. You know, if you pass on, say you pass on like, let's say Stephon Diggs. You pass on Stephon Diggs or Derwin James, you know, you got to be careful. You got to really be careful.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, just a funny thing in my mind.
I want to play in a league that I want to think about doing that. Because okay. That'd be like, that's a pretty good, like, you know, Derwin James or Stephon Diggs. Like, that should be a conversation, in my opinion.
Okay.
But I guess my biggest issue with defensive backs versus D-line especially, it's the most heavy position. And then linebackers, defensive backs are more spread out. But the difference of the value of a linebacker versus a linebacker 2 or 3 is more than a defensive back from what I've seen. And so it's a lot easier just to replace your defensive backs than it is your linebackers or your D-line. And if you can end up having, like, you know, hopefully I have 6 linebackers, they're in the top 36, so that really gives my team a big advantage, I think, versus, you know, going against someone that has, you know, these players that are outside the top 40 and 50, and that I'm just consistently, I want that chunk of the middle in a 14-team league, I guess the best way to put it. If you give me all my players like chunked up in the middle and they're just giving me consistent middle level points, that's going to beat the majority of the teams that are banking on, you know, Deshaun Jackson catching a 262-yard touchdowns.
Oh yeah, and that's a great point, a great strategy, and that's a great way to think, and that's why you win so many championships, is because you play this out in your head, and you're like, okay, this is the reason why I'm going with this, and it works out for you more often than it does. So who do you got? Yes. You got some guys that you don't like in the defensive back.
Let's see. This one was tough, honestly. I really don't have a lot of overhyped guys. In a startup, you just have to look and see. You know, you got to make a decision. I'm not for or against it. You know, so I got some undervalued guys. Number one is Jordan Poyer. He's the number 12 defensive back last year, and Buffalo's defense is not getting worse. And,
Jordan Poyer, solid every season.
Yeah, and I mean they're just better. And like I think having him on a defense that's that good, they're gonna have more pressure. They just added Mario Addison and Vanessa. I mean, that's, you know, they got to be the pick to win that division. I know that's weird to say, but I mean, on paper, you know, famous last words, they look good.
Yeah, I mean, they made the playoffs last year, and you know they're gonna go as far as Josh Allen takes them, but they played good, and you know they seem to be well coached now, and you know Jordan Poyer is a great sleeper pick. The one guy that I have 2 or 3 sleeper guys, but I want to talk about a new guy that was going to a new team and a team that really needed some safety help, and that's Ha-Ha Clinton Dix going to my Dallas Cowboys. I think that maybe he can step in and kind of fill the role that's been lost, you know, going maybe clear back to, I'm not going to say Darren Wilson, but, you know, the guy out of, I can't think of his name. It's driving me crazy, but he'll come to me in a minute.
Williams,
that's his name, Roy Williams.
Oh, I gotcha.
You know, he had a lot of hype, and he had a couple of good seasons, but they haven't had a really good, solid safety, you know, that they could bang on, and maybe Ha-Ha brings in a little bit of experience, and, you know, he comes in, and, you know, he was with McCarthy before, so, you know, he could be a very good sleeper candidate, you know, for the safety position there in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I think so. You're right. They've definitely been dying for somebody back there. I think that's definitely a spot.
I got Taylor Rapp and Darnell Savage here, a couple of second-year guys, one from you, one from the Rams. I actually got one share of Taylor Rapp from you in a league. I think it was the Hitman League, actually. I'm looking for him to have good numbers. Do you think he's a leaper, or do you think he's a little bit, you know, maybe a little bit of a feed?
No, I like him. There's a few teams, Rams being one of them, I being another. You like their safeties. Doesn't matter who it is, you like them. Lions had 3 fantasy relevant safeties last year. You know, same with the the Rams because what John Johnson got hurt. It was him and oh man, who else was it? Who was the third? Who am I forgetting? John Johnson.
It wasn't LaMarcus Joyner. He was in the Raiders organization already. I can't remember who it was either.
It's horrible. Anyway, there was three of them. It was because of injury, but they're all good. And so that's, yeah, I like that guy. That's going to bug me. I'll figure that out at some point.
Yeah, I'll hit you at some point. That drives me nuts. Sometimes stay away from this. It's kind of the thing you'd say, too. You know, stay away from the big name. And, you know the name. I'm staying away from Jalen Ramsey. And, you know, he's about three, four interceptions a year. He's not big on tackling. He get a couple. But, I mean, if I was to pick a cornerback, you know, I would pick Chidobe Awuzie from Dallas over Jalen Ramsey for the Rams. I mean, Chidobe Awuzie can get you 10 tackles a game. He does that, you know, week in and week out. Ramsey's the name I'm staying away from, and I hate that because he's one of my beloved Noles. But, you know, they don't throw him. He's no good. They don't throw on him because he's going to pick you. And that just negatively affects his fantasy value.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, if I am picking a cornerback, I am looking for the cornerback opposite of an elite cornerback. So whoever's playing opposite Jalen Ramsey, you might target because they're going to get a lot of targets because of what you just said.
Very true.
Other than that, rookie cornerbacks on good offenses, Marshawn Lattimore comes to mind a few ago as a rookie on the Saints. He was good for fantasy because he got targeted a lot. So having a rookie, that can lead to a lot of points, a lot of tackles, pass breakups, and you really see, you know, if the kid's good because, yeah, I mean, they're definitely going to be challenged.
Yeah, because they're staying away from the other guy. Just like we said, you know, they're going to stay away from Ramsey. They're going to throw on the other guy. That's the guy I got to go to. And, you know, I traded up high, and I sure did. I traded up high in the Chumps League a couple years ago, and I had Ramsey. I took Ramsey like 102. I took Zeke 101 and traded Zeke away immediately. You know, and, you know, I moved all the way up to get Ramsey. But at the time, you know, he played a little bit of everything for State. He was a corner. He was a safety. He'd come down in the star. You know, he played a little bit of everything. So I wasn't real sure, you know, but then he come out and said, you know, I'm on the corner. I thought, well, you win some, lose some. You know, obviously corners and safeties point out, you know, a lot different.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. It's like it's that one other guy. I didn't know. It's just, I think it was the guy that brought this up. Who was the number one defense back last year? Do you know?
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
You traded for him in the Chumps League last year.
I did.
Yeah.
Minka Fitzpatrick.
No. it was Logan Ryan.
Okay. Well, he's a free agent. Nobody wants him.
Right. Exactly.
I can't figure that one out.
Okay. So here's what they're saying is that Adoree Jackson is going to be playing Logan Ryan role, which is like a fantasy gold mine. As Logan Ryan showed last year. So I don't know if that's true or, you know, if it's translated the same way that Logan Ryan did. But Adoree Jackson, once upon a time, he's a guy I picked up and actually won a week because he returned punts and won me a week because of that.
Yep, he sure did back in his first set year.
So he's an athlete. He could be a better Logan Ryan, maybe. I don't know. So keep that in mind, which I was like, damn, I wish I'd heard that about a month ago.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, I read an article somewhere that Logan Ryan's willing to sign with any team except Tennessee.
I know, like, what the hell? Like, why anybody sign him? Geez,
I can't figure out he has landed.
I don't know. I thought that, too, because, yeah, he got – I don't know where he got drafted in this league, but I wasn't – I mean, I didn't consider him because he's not on a team.
Right, which makes no sense because, man, he was a fantasy dream here.
Yeah. He destroyed – he outscored the next defensive back by, oh, my gosh, almost 100 points, I think. Hold on, I can bring it up.
Anybody else you want to talk about this minute before we wrap this thing up? We covered a lot of names here and did a real good job to deep dive some IDP this evening. Anybody else that you want to touch on?
Quick sleepers, linebacker, Jermaine Pratt for Cincinnati. Been there for a couple years, I think, now. Maybe has the edge up for starting a linebacker spot. He showed pretty decent at the end of the year last year. Shaq Thompson. You know, all talked about all his vacated tackles, Luke Kuechly retiring. You know, he's been there. So, see what he can do.
Love Shaq Thompson. Drafted him in the Chumps League his rookie year and had him all the way up until last year and traded him.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a guy, like, you never, like, you couldn't really cut, but you couldn't really feel comfortable starting. Like, a bye week, all right, I'll throw Shaq in there, you know. And he has some flashes, so if he can be the main guy, I don't, you know, we'll see. So, that's kind of
shot in the dark, but he's not real expensive from what I've seen. And defensive back Justin Simmons for Denver.
Yeah, had a really good last list, actually. He's the last on my sleeper list.
Yeah, and he just, you know, he's going to get the – he's closer to the upper echelon defensive back than he is to everyone else, in my opinion.
Yeah, I really like him. And if you're going to be able to get him cheap, and he's probably going to be in your lineup weekend out for you.
Yeah, and then also Chauncey, C.J. Gardner-Thompson is a safety for New Orleans. Von Bell left, and he played last year, and so there should be a lot of tackles available for that guy to get this year.
Where did Von Bell go?
Cincinnati. They got a three-headed monster.
That's right.
Jesse Bates. They're talking about the safeties, as someone was taught the other day. The IDP dude was on a podcast I was listening to, and he was talking about he was staying away from all of them because he didn't know he was going to get the production. You would assume Von Bell would. They just brought him in.
Yeah.
And then
he's been very productive for several years, you know, in fantasy. So, you know, he's probably going to come in with a leg up. Although I do like Bates. I really like Bates from Cincinnati as well.
Well, that's the thing. I think it could end up playing three safeties if the linebackers are trash and end up all three of them having decent value.
That'd be kind of neat, wouldn't it? Move one of them to star.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, having Jabril Peppers on your team. He's like the, I don't know what they call it in the defense, like the, I don't know, the rover,
the
whatever.
Star.
Yeah, and he just kind of goes wherever. You can sort of be a linebacker. You can sort of be a safety. Like, that's like Isaac Simmons. I think him doing that in Arizona's defense would be a lot of fun to watch.
Okay, so here we go. I want to put you on the spot. This is just totally off the cuff. In order, the three linebackers, Simmons, Murray, and Queen. Who do you like in order? 1, 2, 3.
I got to go Queen first. Then I got to go Simmons, and I got to go Murray.
Okay. Okay. I just picked up Patrick Queen and the Devy.
I know, you assholes. All three of you have linebackers in front of me. I saw the first part of the first round. I was like, oh, sweet, I'm going to get a linebacker. And I'm like, nope.
Yeah, I thought – I had it figured where they were going to go 4, 5, and 6 instead of 5, 6, and 7. Mike Adamson taking Gronk kind of surprised me. I thought that those linebackers go 4, 5, and 6. And – I knew when the one went, they all three was going to go pretty quick.
Yeah, I'm so pissed. I saw that I was at work, and I just put my phone back in my pocket. I'm like, you have to wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, I needed a linebacker, and my most strategy was, you know, doing what you're going to do with the 101 is going to dictate, you know, if it's a 102. If one of those three linebackers fall at the 106, I'm definitely going to go. It worked out for me a little bit.
Also, a guy I picked up after the draft, and these are both rookies. We haven't talked much rookies. Logan also the Bengals, pick in the third round. Has a kind of a three down skill set and so could end up being a starting linebacker for the Bengals. So, Jeremy Chinn, he's actually my favorite rookie to back for Carolina.
Yeah,
Luke Kuechly's not there. Yeah, I dropped, you know, James White and Tariq Cohen to pick him up because they ain't helping my roster. I'd really have other guys.
I went in and scooped up James White just because I wanted some running back depth.
Yeah, and I hear you. And I got my running backs are good. I mean, I got. What, J.K. Dobbins sitting on the bench? I got mine of Edwards Hilaire sitting on the bench right now.
Yeah, I had a problem to have.
It's rough. You got to back it up.
Yeah, you're that league. We're feeling sorry for you all to pieces. The fact that you missed finding linebackers just breaks heart, I'm sure.
I figured.
All right, that's going to about wrap us up for the evening. Brian, I'm going to let you go. I'll get off of here. I'm going to be in touch with you about the startup and the college portion of the College to Canton League, and we'll talk about that next week probably. And with that, have a good night, man. We can put a whole show on that for sure.
That'll be fun.
All right, man, we'll talk to you later on, bud. Thanks. Hope you guys enjoyed that. It's a really in-depth look at some IDP, and look, there's way more guys that we didn't even talk about. There's so much more that you can focus on and get a list of players and you know, go back and look at stats and watch some film and, you know, break these guys down. And IDP is where it's at. Once you play IDP, you know, it changes your fantasy outlook. You don't want to play DST anymore because IDP makes teams relevant. It just makes individual players that much more relevant. Last thing here before I go, got to congratulate Jacob Dreyer. Jacob was the winner of the Baker Mayfield jersey. Jacob lives in Rochester, Minnesota. He answered the question correctly, entered it in the drawing, drew his name on Twitter and Periscope, shipped that out to him the other day. Congratulations, Jacob Dreyer, on winning the Baker Mayfield jersey. I got two more jerseys to give away. I'm going to give one away around the start of preseason. I'm going to give away the third one right around the start of the regular season, whenever that is. I got a youth size white Dak Prescott and an adult size white Zeke Elliott to give away. So pay attention to those. We'll be coming soon. I'll probably come up with some other little unique trivia question to get you guys answered in that. But with that, we're going to get out of here for the evening. My name is Chris Drosbaugh. Thanks to Brian Wickham at BWIT50. You can find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. You can find the show on Podbean, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Podcast Addict, Apple Pod, Google Pod. Anywhere you listen, I do appreciate it. My Twitter following is growing. Listeners are growing. I'm trying to get better at this all the time. Hit me up on Twitter with any kind of questions you got, fantasy related, Devi, anything you got, we got your answers. And if I don't have it, I'll find it for you. Have a great weekend. See you next time on The Hitman Show.